This sermon was recorded at Church of the Ascension, an Anglican parish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to be a worshiping community that equips God's people and shares Christ's healing with a broken world. For more information, please visit ascensionpittsburgh.org.
Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts to be acceptable in your sight? Would you open our eyes and our ears and our minds to you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is the second to last Sunday in Epiphany, the season where we celebrate Jesus being revealed to the world. Jesus is appearing. And we've been walking through stories of his life where he has been revealed. And today is World Mission Sunday. And so Epiphany is an appropriate season to talk about world missions, because that is when we get to think and talk about how we share Jesus with the world. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is that he came to be one of us. When we were far away from God, he came and he walked among us. He lived in perfect obedience to the Father. And then he died on the cross to cover over our sins, to cover over our shame. And then he rose again, certifying to us that we will also rise again in his life. That is the good news of the gospel. And that is fundamentally what Christian mission is all about, is sharing this good news. Now, the good news started in Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, to the foothills. And since then, it has traveled over oceans, it has trekked over deserts, it has hiked over mountains. It has gone to every continent on the earth, including Antarctica. I had to check that, but it is true. It is a time traveler. The good news of Jesus has been passed down from generation to generation. It has gone to different cultures, to people with different languages, to people who are very different from you and I, very different from North Americans. And the gospel translates into every culture it meets. And it didn't get there by accident. How it got there was the providence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. But the mechanism that God used was us, normal, fallible human people. When I was preparing this sermon, I texted my husband and I said, "Quick, tell me the dumbest thing you've ever seen me do. I need to illustrate human fallibility to the congregation." And he did not reply. And so, he's a smart man, yeah, he did not reply. So I texted him and I said, "It's not a trap." And as I pressed send on that text, a text from him popped up that said, "This is a trap." And I'll tell you, because he's gentle and he's smart, he came up with the fact, and this is real, that every time I hold a screwdriver, I have to, not just in my head, I have to say out loud, "Tidy, righty, lefty, loosey." And then when I move on to the project to the next screw, I have to do it again, because I've forgotten in the last 30 seconds which way the screw needs to go. We are fallible people, right? We fall down, we skin our knees. We're so fragile that we fall down and we bleed, right? We get embarrassed and we blush. We get angry and we do things we don't mean to, and we feel ashamed and we hide. We are just normal people who lose our car keys, and yet we are the ones that are called to be the bearers of the good news, the most exciting, best news that we have in this world. It's us. There's no race of super Christians who are going to do it. It's just people like you and I. And so that's what I want to think about this morning, is how all of us are called to share the good news. And I know that all of us are called to share the good news because Jesus says so. So if you look at our gospel reading for this morning, Matthew 28, this is often called the Great Commission. So when we commission someone or something, we set it apart for a particular task or duty. And Jesus is setting his disciples apart for a particular task or duty, which is to go, so it's active. We go and make disciples of all nations. And if we're going to make disciples, then we have to be able to talk about who they are going to be disciples of. And so at the very heart of the good news of the gospel is the good news about a person. It is the good news of Jesus. And that is what we're called to bring. Yes, we bring a message, but fundamentally what we're bringing is a relationship. And isn't it cool how in God's providence that he used us, fallible but relational people, and in a relational way, that is how the gospel is transmitted. Because ultimately, we're trying to bring the world Jesus and to help the world be back into relationship with this person, this God-man. And so that's the mechanism. And Jesus tells us we all have to do it. So that's just like the best reason. Jesus said so, we should do it. There's more reasons though, which I'm going to elucidate. So I want to differentiate. I'm going to be talking a lot through this sermon about how every Christian, every follower of Jesus is in fact a missionary, but we would be considered perhaps general missionaries. Amongst us, we have formal missionaries. We have people amongst us that have been trained for this task, who have spent years, if not decades, in places and cultures that are very different from our own, who have learned how to transmit the gospel in a different way than many of us get to experience. And they are a wonderful well of information and wisdom for us. So I reached out to them because I got a B in World's Mission and in seminary. And so I knew I needed some help. And I got such wonderful responses, such wise and good responses, responses that have already shaped what you've heard so far and shape the rest of the sermon. So I just want to say, I'm going to call out a couple quotes in particular, but a big thank you to all of our missionaries here at Ascension that replied to me and helped me think about and shape what I'm sharing right now. Thank you for that. So the second reason comes directly from another missionary who says, the second reason we have to think about being missionaries and engage, particularly on a day like World Mission Sunday, is because when we engage in mission, when we engage in the task of sharing Jesus with the world, we are aligning with God's own heart. We look at our Old Testament reading for today, and we see that from the very beginning, God was reaching out. God was outwardly focused. And so he's talking to Abraham in our reading. And to Abraham, he says, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, not just for your own good, but for the good of the whole world. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God has been on mission. This is God's heart. God is positioned reaching out to the world and gathering people back in to himself. What our missionary wrote in particular is he says that mission is ontological, primarily, not epistemological or methodological. So what he means by that is it's not primarily what we think about mission. It's not even primarily how we do mission. It's primarily about changing who we are to align more with God's own heart, which is to bless and to bring back the lost, to bring them back into the family of God. And we are the mechanism that he has chosen to do that. So the first reason we need to think about this is Jesus told us to. Second is that it aligns us with God's own heart. And third, as one missionary wrote, it's good practice for heaven. We see in Revelation 7, our epistle reading for today, this image of people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation finally gathered back together, surrounding Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain. That's the good news. Surrounding the throne of God and giving worship all together as one body. That's where we're heading. And so every time we engage with people that are different than us, we have a foretaste of heaven. Every time we worship with people that are different than us, we are getting a little taste of what that's going to be like. And so we can go out and bless others with the good news, but ultimately, as we engage in this work, we are also blessed in return, because people can reflect back to us from their perspective, from their culture, from their understanding, new and different and wonderful aspects of God that we, in our narrow perspective, may not have been able to see before. One example of this in my life has been last year with Father Jonathan and Mother Andrea. We got to be part of the Pittsburgh delegation to GAFCON, which was held in Kigali, Rwanda. We only spent a week there. We spent much of our time at the convention center, which was very lovely, but not ultimately as exciting as being out actually in the city. And we got to experience hospitality there from the Rwandan Christians in a way that I have never experienced hospitality. It blew apart my whole perspective on what hospitality means. And they did that through just us mentioning that we wanted to get away from the convention center and go see the city. We had a Christian pastor drop his whole day, forget about his whole schedule, so that he could shepherd us around the city. They found a driver for us and a car, and we went. And that was no big deal to them, although it meant the world to us. Later in the trip, we had walked to go to dinner. And it was lovely on our walk over. And then it started downpouring as we were about to leave. And so the proprietor of this restaurant pulled his personal vehicle up to the front and loaded 14 of us into his 7-passenger van. And off we went. Somebody has pictures of this somewhere. I know that they do. Because we put the bishop in the front and he was gleefully leaning back, taking pictures of us all who were crammed in the back on the floor. But it was such a message to me about how lacking my own sense of hospitality is. What I saw from the Rwandan Christians was much closer to what I read about in the scriptures, and much closer to how I understand God's own hospitality towards us. So that's just one small example. And ever since that, I've been challenged by that, by their witness, continually as I engage in hospitality here. That's one example of how when we go out to people that are different than us, we are also so blessed in return, because our vision for what the gospel is and who Jesus is will get bigger and bigger and more enriched by other people. Because again, this is primarily a relational message. I think that's how it was intended to work. And we don't have to be formal missionaries. We can learn from our formal missionaries, and they are a wonderful resource. You can read about them, by the way, if you have not read Your Ascent. It is out now, and it is about all of our missionaries that are out, that are going out, that are in our midst. And I just encourage you to read about them, to get to know what's going on, particularly what God is doing from Ascension. It's just really awesome. So I would encourage you to do that, but we get the opportunity to support them, but also engage in similar missions. Our culture is shifting in such a way that I might be entering a whole different culture just by walking across my property line. I go to my neighbors, and yes, we might both be North Americans, we might be the same skin color, but I am acutely aware that they have a different culture than I do in terms of how they think about God, how they think about religion and spirituality and the differences there. How they interpret the world is just different than how I do. And so I can learn from them. And so we have opportunities to do this work, to share the good and exciting news. And we increasingly have opportunities to do it right here in our backyard, because our culture is becoming increasingly divorced from the good news. People simply do not know it. And so that is our job. That is our job, to share it, even in the mundane, silly moments of our lives. That is the call that Jesus is putting on us. So we're engaging with mission. We're all missionaries. We can learn from our formal missionaries. We can learn from our international community here, just learning how to interact with other people who might have a different first language. It is wonderful practice in humility and curiosity. We are so blessed here at Ascension to have such a diverse community of different backgrounds. I remember the first Pentecost I was here, when everybody started speaking in their own languages, and I was totally blown away by how many languages were represented. So we have that opportunity here. So we do this because Jesus says so, because it aligns us with God's own heart, and because it gives us a foretaste of heaven. And we are so blessed in return. So, what can we practically do? Well, one of the responses that kept coming up over and over again from the missionaries was to cultivate curiosity and humility. To say, I don't know, but I'd like to find out. I don't know you. I don't know what you think about God, but I'd like to find out. So to be able to listen and to then keep our eyes open, be curious about what God is doing right around us. Ask him who we can be going to share the good news. We can keep our eyes open to what God is doing in the world. The gospel has come a very long way, but it has further to go. As one missionary couple reminded me, we have people groups around the world that have never heard the gospel. They sent me a report from the Joshua Project. This is from a 2022 report that says there are 17,400 people groups in the world. 7,400 of them are considered unreached. There are 7,382 languages in the world, which I did not know we had that many. Only 720 of them have a complete Bible translated into their own language. The fact that I had access to 20 plus English language translations of the Bible is an embarrassment of riches that I often take for granted. But we got those translations because of faithful men and women doing this work, understanding how they are being caught up into God's mission in very different ways. And they're still doing that work today. And so we may not be called to go across oceans or over mountain ranges, but we can keep our eyes open. We can be curious about what God is calling us to do right here in our everyday lives. I want to close with what one missionary wrote, and she just encouraged a time of reflection for us. She writes that 1 Peter tells us to be ready when asked to give an account of the hope that is in us. She asks, "Mission is sharing by word and deed the good news that is the hope within us. In that sense, every Christian is a missionary." And so, she asks, "In what sense is the gospel good news for you personally?" Because that is the hope that we have. That is that exciting, that joyful thing that we get to share with the world. What is good news about Jesus in this season, right where you are with whatever is going on? What is good news to you? And what's neat is I thought we would have a lot of different answers if we could go around the room and say them, right? And your answer might change from different season to different season in your life as well. So I encourage you to reflect on that so that you know why you're excited to follow Jesus, because this truly is good news that we have to share. It's exciting to get to bring Jesus to other people. And finally, I felt really called to say this. We have been talking a lot about the mission of God being the mission that is for every follower of Jesus. But I know that there are probably some people in this room who do not follow Jesus, who do not yet know God. And I wanted to say that there's something in this sermon for you too. Because we have a God who from the very beginning, from the time when humans and God were split apart by our sin, God has been on mission to regain the world to himself, to bring his children back. Our God is fundamentally focused outward to bring people in. And so that means that if you don't know Jesus and you don't know God, that you can know that God is still for you. He is not against you, that his heart is already open to you, and you don't have to do anything for that to be true. You don't even have to believe it for it to be true. And I also want to say that every person in this room who says that they follow and know and love Jesus, We also were once lost before we got found. We also had to have a God that reached out to us and drew us back in. And so I don't know who needs to hear that this morning. Maybe all of us. I need to hear that probably every day. But we have a God who is for us, who is reaching out to pull us to himself. And friends, that's the exciting work that we get to do, that we get to be part of, because we have really good news to share. Amen.